Hi, welcome to the Word Sower Podcast, a podcast where we get personal with God's Word, discovering how it's relevant and alive today, and how we can respond. I'm Robin.
And I'm Mary. In each episode, we read scripture, ask questions, and discuss how God's Word has impacted us. So don't miss out on the insights, stories, and laughter as we learn together about what God is saying to each one of us and find encouragement to share it with others. Follow the Word Sower Podcast for a dose of good news.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mary.
How are you?
Ain't great in Jesus. God is good all the time.
All the time, God is good. I'm so grateful to be here with you today. We're wrapping up the book of Jonah today. We're going to read Jonah chapter 4. And this story has just been so impactful about, being willing to follow God's will and how God's will pervades even when we don't feel willing. Nothing can stop the will of God, and he's in charge, even to the point of appointing a fish to swallow this guy and take him to Nineveh, who probably worshiped the god of Dagon in Assyria, or at least were familiar with the god of Dagon, the Philistine god, who may have looked like a fish. And and Jonah tells the Ninevites the Lord's message. And as I have said, the shortest, worst sermon ever in the history of all mankind, 40 days, and God will destroy this place. And we learned last week that the king of Nineveh humbled himself and commanded everyone to humble themselves before the Lord and to fast and wear burlap and pray. And God was merciful, and God, he did not pour out his wrath on those Ninevites who, in that little time. So, today, we're going to find out, like we said, the rest of the story that, what happened to Jonah after his prophecy did not come true, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm starting in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?"
Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant, so it all withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. "Death is certainly better than living like this," he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died?" "Yes," Jonah retorted, "even angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" And it ends with that. It's so you cannot make this up. It's just
so honest.
That's how real life happens. Everybody doesn't turn out liking everything all the time. But But God's got a bigger plan, you know?
He does. And, you know, I think about why did Jonah get angry about this message to Nineveh? The people of Israel did not want to share God's message with the Gentile nations, and they wanted to hog God all to themselves. They had forgotten that they were created to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. But Jonah did not want to share God's message with these wicked people. He did not want them to repent. And now, Mary, is that selfish or what? What do you think?
Well,
It's a complicated.
I just can relate a little bit to Jonah when, I want to be this kind, loving, unselfish person who always wants the best for other people. And I don't want to be that catty, hateful person that, when I was in junior high school, there were some really mean girls, really mean girls. And one girl, she gave my friend a concussion. She sprayed Lysol in my face. They were really mean and violent
Boys,
people.
boys.
Oh, super bullies. And one girl was just, she was the prettiest girl in our whole school. I won't say her name. I'm sure she'll never hear this podcast, but I can think of it right now anyway.
Is she mean?
Well, I can her name was Cindy, and I know a lot of wonderful people named Cindy, but anyway, I won't say her last name. And when my brother invited her into my home, I was livid. I didn't want her walking around in our home. I didn't want her drinking our sodas or, feeling any comfort at all, at all. I didn't wish her well at all. So, I mean, and when I think about, I didn't say, boy, I hope things turned out good for her. I just couldn't get past my pain. I just couldn't get past my pain to wish her well for a long time. Today,
Yes.
in the power of God and the Holy Spirit giving
Yeah.
me Christ's mind, I absolutely can look at that girl and say, what happened to her that she was ha so hateful and violent? And I can feel pity today for her today, but apart from the Holy Spirit, no. I never, before I came to Christ, I didn't think that way about anybody.
Do you know what happened to her?
No, I don't. I
So
don't. I did.
that's
Now, the other girl, I'll tell you what, the other girl who was her sidekick, sort
yeah.
of the Robin to her Batman. I don't know if there's some evil version of Batman and Robin, but I met her at a high school reunion. And, when I first saw her sitting there, I had a visceral response, almost like I was back in junior high and I was about to get beat up again. And it turns out, she grew up, I grew up, we were all different people, and she was actually very shy and timid. So I don't know what had transpired in her life, but she was a different person. And,
Yeah,
it was not hard to be friendly with her.
age is the great humbulator. That's what I said, age. If you live long enough,
Yeah.
stuff happens in everybody's life. But going back to
I think
Jonah,
so for most
going
of
back to,
us.
yeah, Jonah, God could have destroyed Jonah for his defiant attitude and his resentful, angry.
Yeah.
He could have destroyed Jonah, but he didn't. And God dealt with Jonah gently and taught him a lesson. And then he used him, as research goes, for 30 more years or so in his prophetic life, not with Nineveh, but other stuff with Israel. But I think I've learned this. And what do you think? If we yield to God, he will use us for greater service. And God is so patient, not only with sinners, but with his servants too. What do you
Yeah.
think?
Well, I mean, with Jonah, when I look at this text, he's so angry, he just wants to die. I think for one thing, he was humiliated,
Oh, yeah.
because he told everybody, he had this great message from the great God, and then it doesn't happen. So he kind of looks like a flake at that point, even though I don't think the people who were truly repentant thought that about him.
No,
But
I
he
think
doesn't have any power in and of himself to display now. And so I think he's embarrassed. I think he hates those people. He says, God, I knew you were merciful, compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. And you can almost hear him spitting when he says that. He's livid that God is merciful, that God doesn't squash bad people, reliably. That he, that there's this loophole in his justice character, which is love. And God's love is bigger than God's desire to stomp folks out. And Jonah's pissed off. He's like, that's not cool. And now what I think is crazy is it says, then he made this shelter to sit under. So after he complains about God's decision to be kind to these people and offer them mercy and love, he waits to see what's going to happen. He makes a shelter because the sun is beating down. It's a deadly sun out there if you don't have any shade. And he probably doesn't make a very good shelter, and God supplants that with a leafy plant with broad leaves and relieves Jonah from. So even after he knows that God's decision was mercy, I think he believed, just like I do sometimes, if I kick and scream and cry, that he's going to change his mind. And I'll be able to whine and cry my way into what I want. And God doesn't play that way, and my husband doesn't play that way. So, once he's made a decision based on good orderly direction, he's prayed for wisdom about it, he's done. And I can cry all I want, and that doesn't actually change anything, which is a technique I learned growing up. If you cry, they'll buy you the dog. And so, so then I think it's just crazy that Jonah still thinks, well, maybe they'll get it after all. Maybe God's going to hear what I had to say and
He
he's going
waits
to
to
give it
see
to him.
see what's going to happen. He's not sure, but he's pretty sure. This looks like they've repented. They've called a fast. He wasn't counting on them doing that. But the book of Jonah, it gives us some revealing insight into our own sinful nature. I mean, he was stubborn, angry, and resentful, just like we get sometimes. And we can identify with those shortcomings. But as God treated Jonah, so he treats us. I mean, don't you think he listens, gives a second chance? I mean, he gave Jonah, he could have died in the water, in the sea.
Well, he could have died in that fish. He could have died in the water. He could have died in the fish. And he could die out here in this heat. And over, God protects his life. And even after he's been sort of a real, I can't think of, I mean, we're an explicit show because we are reading the Bible, but we don't want to be that explicit.
Hey, bad bad words like
I'm
we do.
working on my vocabulary, but he's a jerk. And so,
That's true.
anyway, he's a jerk, and God still saves his life by providing that shade for him.
Yeah.
Which Jonah, and then when the worm destroys the plant, Jonah's still so angry. He wants
He
to,
wants to
he's
die.
angry enough even to die. Like, I'm going to despise all of the times that you've saved my life because I lost my shade.
That shows you he was undone. He was exhausted, kind of like Elijah after all the prophets of Baal were killed because the fire consumed the offering. I don't have the scriptures in front of me, but that's what brought to mind. But
Yeah, Elijah was depressed. I think this guy is resentful. I don't think it's really. To me, I don't read depression. I hear just rage. Just a
Another thing that we talked about, Mary, about kings and princes and royalty, prophets were kind of like royalty. They spoke to the king and all like this. He had been in Israel, sheltered, kind of like a good Israelite. All of a sudden, God puts him in a pagan city. He's been swallowed by fish. He looks like crap. He looks awful. And he has this horrible message to send to the Ninevites, who he hated. It's like he's been humbled beyond, but he wasn't kind of humbling. He did it, but part of him, when you humble yourself, you're sitting down on the inside. Well, he was kind of standing up on the
I
inside.
agree,
He did
Robin.
it. He would obey God, but his heart was not in it totally. But
I
we can,
agree.
and we are that way too. I know I can humble. Sometimes I can humble myself. Other times God humbles me. But there are times that I can be obedient, but in my and I could
Oh,
submit,
yeah.
but inside I am standing. I ain't submitting.
Yeah.
My heart,
Yeah.
I am doing it. I'm going through the motions. So that tells us a lot about us. It reveals our hearts, our human
I
nature.
think you hit the nail on the head there. You've got the whole city of Nineveh, 120,000 people, and the king has humbled himself, and the people have followed in, in humility, bowing down before God. And then you have this Hebrew who should have known better, and he has a different heart attitude. He's not
Pride.
bowing
There's
down.
some pride issue.
It reminds me of when, in one of those parables, I think it was, that Jesus would tell, where there's a tax collector and a Pharisee, and they're both praying to God. And the Pharisee prays, "I thank you, God, that I'm doing so well, and I know how to tithe and pray and do all the right things, and all my boxes are checked off. And most of all, I thank you that I'm not like this sorry tax collector." And then the tax collector says, "Oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner." And Jesus says, "Which one of these guys was right with the Lord?" And we know it was the tax collector who had
That's right.
cheated his own people
Yeah.
out of, not just out of money, but maybe even selling people into slavery to pay debts and taking more than was owed and so on. One of the worst people that you could be, have to deal with in your community,
Yeah.
because he's your own people acting on behalf of Rome, and stealing from folks, your own people. And so he's not the good guy in the story, but in God's economy, he's right with the Lord. He's reconciled through humbling himself in prayer versus Mr. Religiosity, that I've got all my, the guy that probably looked like on the outside exactly who you'd want your daughter to marry. And it
Yeah.
turns out he's the thug, and the tax collector is right.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of the same scenario I see here in Jonah, is you've got people who, no, they haven't done their everything in their life perfectly, but they are humbling themselves before the Lord. And then you've got somebody who's quite religious, and he's, like you said, has an attitude of pride, standing up, and he will not bow down. He can't accept God's will and God's desire to save.
But God had mercy on them both, because Jonah lived and did more things. The Ninevites did not kill him. And you know what? Maybe they were even grateful that he came, because if he
Oh,
had
yeah.
not come, they would not have repented. They would have
They'd
not
be
hung.
dead.
So in a sense, he saved that city. He
He
saved that.
saved that city, but my only thing is, you can live on this planet and you can be spiritually dead. We
Oh,
know that.
yeah.
And so, if you don't have a right relationship with God, if you're not reconciled to the Father, and Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so, before Christ, God is looking at people's hearts for faith and for repentance. And then Christ, there were certain things that Jews did, sacrificing, but,
But faith is the only thing that pleases him. But I will say, Jonah reminds us too much of ourselves, that we don't like what we see, and we don't like what we see. We're selfish, we're angry, we're spiteful and proud.
yeah, you can walk around dead
Yes.
if you are spiritually dead and you're not reconciled to God. You look like a living person, but spiritually, you don't have the life of Christ, that everlasting life. And so what my question is, and I don't know, because everybody that gets their name dropped in the Bible isn't, I don't believe just because your name got dropped in the Bible that you're saved. There was Dathan and Korah, where their names are in the Bible, and they were in opposition to Moses and the Lord, and God had the earth open up and swallow them up, all of them, their tents and families. So
That's a
just
bit
because your name got listed in the Bible don't mean you're saved.
right
And
because
just
it was
because you go to church don't mean you're saved.
yeah I
Just
mean
because you're Jewish or culturally Christian
that's
don't
right
mean you're saved.
that's what I
So
was going to say
I wonder if Jo what is the status of Jonah? Like, are there going to be a bunch of Ninevites there and no Jonah? I don't know.
No, I think Jonah must have repented because I don't think God would have used him for 30 more years if his heart had not, as a prophet, if his heart had not been right before the Lord. But
I don't
only
know.
God
Maybe.
knows. Only God knows because, he was obedient. He did what he was supposed to do. We don't know Jonah's hearts, but the evidence here is that he was
He had a way to go.
he had a way to go, just like us. He had a ways to go.
So, as we would say in the South, bless his heart.
Yeah, sometimes we want to turn and run when God gives us things to do, but obeying God is better than defying him or running away. And often, despite our defiance, God in his mercy will give us another chance to serve him, just like Jonah did. And God is sovereign, and he wants his message not just for Israel, but for the whole world. God wants us to bless, not just us for no more. And I think I've said that one other time, but he wants us to go out and share the message of Jesus with our friends, our neighborhood, our family. And you went to other countries, to Indonesia. And I mean, we can be part-time missionaries if we have short-term things. We can be a missionary at Harris Teeter, at the Food Lion, at the gas pump, in our neighborhoods, our next door
In the
neighbors.
children's ministry, that's a great place. See, that's one of the things I think a lot of us are missing is there is an unreached nation in every nation, and they're called children. They don't have the gospel. They may be hearing it at home or in nursery school or somewhere, but you don't know that. And so if you want to go to a lost people, they are called children. You don't have to have a passport to bring the gospel to lost people. People who've never heard the fact that God loves you and he has done everything through Jesus to save your life. And, like even little babies are learning that in churches and BSF and homes. Hopefully, the most important place that we need to do that is in our own families, is that we don't abdicate our role of carrying the gospel to our own children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews. And, I don't know anybody who's doing it perfectly, but do some of it. And if you're not doing it perfectly, ask for help. Nobody, I don't know anybody that gets saved and instantly knows how to what's the best way to share the gospel with all of the people in my life. You like the woman at the well in John chapter 4, I love that story where she meets Jesus at the well. She has an encounter with him, and she leaves her water pot and runs back to her town and says, I just met a guy who told me everything about myself. Do you think he's the Christ? Do you think he's the Messiah? And she was half Jewish, half Assyrian, and she was a Samaritan. And they came to meet Jesus too, or they brought him back. They brought him back to his town. He stayed for a couple of days. He don't usually do that. And he hung out there for a couple days, and they said to her, "Now we believe. You know, not just because you said what you said, but because we've had our own encounter with him. And that whole town was changed. And so I do think that some of it is just enthusiasm that, you know, hey, I'm enthusiastic, I'm grateful, I'm engaged with Jesus, and it's just spilling out of you. You know, are you excited about what Jesus has done for you? Do you know what Jesus has done for you? And then how can you just be bored and complacent and keep it to yourself if you've really meditated on what God's done for you? But there are times, like sometimes you do go on a short-term mission trip, or there are like maybe there's family that are sort of kicking back against any conversations, and we don't have to it reinvent the wheel. There are other people who've gone before us, and strategies. Sometimes, like I've got a family member who she is absolutely not going to listen to a 3-point sermon on why she should trust and follow Jesus. You know, how, and I can talk to other women and pastors in the church and say, what have you done? What can I do to reach this person? Sometimes you just live your faith in front of them and you don't preach. And absolutely, you're going to pray for who you want to have a heart change.
I think family members, mainly it's you live your life in front of them. Strangers, people you'll never see again, you kind of need words
And
because,
sometimes there are other tools too, like
other things like
sharing tools.
And other things, but the best thing is to be really in tune with the Holy Spirit because we need to know, especially family members, when to speak, when not to speak, because you can inoculate them, vaccinate them against the gospel if they just know a little bit, but and they think they're okay. And we really need to, but they're not saved. I mean, they have religion, but not relationship. And we're all in for relationship. That's the only thing that matters. And so I think it pays to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead us. And
Yes, practice listening.
on a daily basis. I had this crazy, I don't know, you might not even want to share this, but I've got to tell you this, Mary, real quick. Yesterday, I went to the bank and I had this amount in a money market, and I felt like I was supposed to close it, but I didn't. They said, we'll give you a better rate. I go out the door and I'm walking away, and I heard this Holy Spirit say, well, it was a thought, but it was a let. I knew it was the Lord. He said, didn't I tell you to close that? I told you to close that account. Why didn't you? Well, in the natural, it made no sense. I didn't want that much money in my checking account, the money. And I got in my car and I wrestled with it. I was still at the bank. And then I thought, I don't understand. It makes no sense, but I'm going to go back. So I went back. So this was paying attention to the Holy Spirit. It made no sense, but I heard that little tiny voice, the thought, I told you to close the account. Why didn't you? So I went back and I said, look, I've changed my mind. I decided to close the account. So she did. Well, it turned out I had a credit card. And I said, oh, I need to pay this amount because I might as well just pay the whole thing. So now I have plenty of my checking accounts. So let's just pay this all now. Because, and I said, she said, yeah, it makes sense because you've got interest if you hadn't paid out your credit card. I said, could you check my credit card? And it turned out that credit card had no interest for a year. And in 3 days, they were going to charge me 17% interest. And what I had remaining was $2,900. So it was going to be a $500 interest I was going to have to pay. But the Lord knew, and I paid attention to that voice. God knew, but I didn't know. Now you probably don't
To
take the
enable you to be a good steward.
I
I
want
mean,
to,
there's not
all
any
our
part of our
money,
lives
right? All our
that he
money
doesn't
belongs.
care about.
Our money belongs to the Lord. And that's just what everything we own belongs to the Lord because we're his servants and we just steward it. But that would have been a waste of money. And I hate that. So, but That was just a tiny thing, but it thrilled me so much because in the natural, it made no sense. I didn't know why he said that, but I went back and did it because it was a faith. Isn't that
And
interesting?
yeah, and now you're not throwing that money away. You're going to be able to that penalty money that was just about to hit you. That money is loosed for you to do something else with
Perhaps
that
for the
according
Lord.
to his will. Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely. God
And
cares about every part of our life.
that's financial is, well, God talks a lot about money in the Bible. He does not, he's not quiet or mute on the Bible. I mean, in the Bible about money. So he mentions it, but everything we have belongs to the Lord and to time.
And I think too, there's a reason that he talks so much about money is because it matters so much to us. We're so greedy and idolatrous about having money and stuff and status, and it trips us up. And when we read about the farmer scattering seeds, the one seed was choked out by the weeds. Like it actually got planted, but it never was able to make any fruit because it was choked out by the weeds. And that's the world and the cares of this world, including, all of our love of money. And so money is not evil, but the love of money absolutely is evil. We're created not to love money and worship money. We're created to love God, and then we use different things in our lives, whatever's, when Moses was going before the Pharaoh, God said, "What's in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." And God was able to use that staff in his hand to be able to display his power. So what's in your hand?
Exactly.
Maybe you have a couple of dollars, maybe you have an artistic ability, maybe you have a home or a car. What's in your hand? And God wants to use what's in your hand.
Exactly. And he blesses certain people with money, so they'll give to the poor, so
That's
they'll
right.
give to the kingdom. If he blesses you with IT skills and knowing how to do that, you use it generously
That's right.
for the kingdom. If he gives you artistic skills or singing skills or whatever, you're serving the kingdom, and he cares about how we spend our time. He does.
Yeah, our
It's
time, talent, and treasure. Yeah.
exactly. In fact, some people would say that time is the most valuable commodity, not money or even resources, but time. It's how you spend your time. Because we all have the same amount, every single being on the earth.
That's
So
right.
time is very important to spend it serving him and loving him and
And
sharing with.
serving others, it's
That's
not
part
just
of.
about being off in a church country club. It's about
No,
being a servant.
So it's so interesting. And going back to Jonah, really, God was so merciful to him,
And through him.
and through him, and because of his obedience, a wicked city became humbled before the Lord, and 120,000 people were saved. So, hello. That was a lot, and Jonah got to go on with his life afterwards, and I'm sure he learned quite a few lessons from this, and it was a humbilator. It was a humility. It probably he grew in humility and understanding. I'm sure
And
the
we can grow in understanding of God's character through this
yeah.
story. I really don't fall in love with Jonah reading this story. It's called Jonah, but I don't feel like he's the hero. I feel like God is the hero in this story. And when in verse 10 and 11, it's just the most beautiful picture. One of the most beautiful pictures of the Lord. You feel sorry about that plant, even though you didn't put it here. It came and and
That's
went.
hysterical, though.
And then
You
he
have to.
says, but what about these 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness? He says, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for them? And, God's heart is tender. God's heart is, he wants to rescue people from spiritual darkness. So we know that there is an enemy, and it's not Middle Eastern people, it's not African people, it's not European or Americans, or it's not men or women. You think of all of the lines that people are drawing these days, hating against white men, or hating Americans, or hating Middle Eastern people, or hating Jews. There's so much hate going on right now, and we know for certain that people are not the enemy. I'm not saying that I'm anti boundaries and protect your country. But where is it? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In Ephesians, we just have recently studied this. This is from chapter 6, when Paul lets us know that, that other, that person who's different from us, or that person, they are not the enemy. The enemy is Satan and the powers of spiritual darkness. That's who
Exactly.
the real enemy is. And that's why we have to practice intercessory prayer. For our authorities, for people who persecute us, for our communities, for the other side. It's like I can relate to Jonah, where, hey, I don't want to pray for those people. I don't want to help the other side. But we must pray for the people who feel like our enemies, because they're not the real enemy. Satan is the real enemy. The powers, the rulers of darkness in this world, that's our real enemy. It's a spiritual battlefield, and we can't be ignorant, so ignorant that we just walk around and think this is all there is, and I'll just hang out with my favorite people, and that's good enough. We are in the army of God. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, you're an army, you're a soldier in the army of God. And what's our tool is prayer, is reading God's word, is being in fellowship with one another, so that we can help encourage each other and protect each other. And we've got to make sure that we don't get this twisted and think, oh, I'm one of the good guys because I'm on team church, and they're the bad guys because they don't go to church. We've got to read this book and recognize, hey, there is a good guy team. It's the Lord, and he's bringing people into his host, into his family, and we've got to rescue the prisoners. Oh my gosh, what that Isaiah, oh, I wish I had my paper Bible in front of me. He says,
Thank you.
Isaiah says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, poor in spirit. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And there's going to be, out of all the nations, a display of God's splendor, that he rescued us. And we want to be on that team.
That's our
So we've
team.
got
That's
to be praying for the people who are in darkness, the people who are so unlovable, because God's desire is to rescue them.
Exactly. Just like it was God's desire for Jonah to use Jonah to help rescue Nineveh. And the Syrian city that was entirely wicked, but God loves them. They're all his creation. So this was a great study. I just love the story of Jonah. I mean, all the other prophetic books, it really goes more into what the prophecies were, but with Jonah, it's really more about Jonah, the person, the prophet. At Luke 11:29, it says, as a crowd pressed in on Jesus, he said, "This evil generation keeps asking me to show them a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of Jonah." So God honored, Jesus honored Jonah. He honored the story. It wasn't just a fish fairy tale. It was the truth. Or Jesus Christ himself would never have mentioned it. And it's mentioned in two gospels, in Luke and in Matthew. So the
Yeah,
sign.
nobody in the world thinks that Jesus Christ is a flake. Even people who don't believe that he's God recognize that his teachings were great. So nobody thinks that he's mentally ill or stupid or something like that. So you can count on what Jesus says. Like no matter who you are, you can, and in fact, if you're far from God, and this all sounds like, malarkey, just taste and see that the Lord is good. Try out what Jesus says and find out, hey, he was right about that. Hey, you know what? I tried this other saying, I have been praying for those who persecute me, and I've had a heart change. Hey, guess what? Jesus was right on that count. I wonder what else he's right about. We could, the world doesn't think that Jesus is wrong. Even those who are still in spiritual darkness, who struggle with his self-declaration of deity, that the Father and I are one. There's no mistake about it. C.S. Lewis said Jesus Christ is either a liar, a lunatic, or he's the Lord. And we all must make that decision. Is Jesus reliable or is he a liar? You have to decide. Was he schizophrenic that he said, "I'm God"? I don't think so. His actions and the way that people perceived him and interacted with him, he had a following, a great following. And so it doesn't appear that he was a liar or a lunatic.
No, and schizophrenics
Therefore,
don't do miracles at all, or either just good teachers don't do miracles. And he was about doing good. He went about
sign
helping.
after sign after sign of his power and sovereignty over it, from a jar of hand washing water into wine, all the way to resurrecting dead people. There's nothing too easy or too hard for him. And we can trust him that he is Lord.
We love him, and we love you guys listening too.
Yes, we do. Thank you for being here today. Listener, if you got something out of this today, first of all, we just thank you for spending time with us. We don't do this for ratings or money. We do it to give glory to God and to encourage each other and to grow in our knowledge of scripture and worship. But hopefully you got something out of it. Please subscribe and let other people know that you found something of value, that it'll show up in your and their feeds more often. If you've prayed to receive Christ, we encourage you to share that decision with somebody else in your life and get involved with a gospel reading, preaching, living church. You can find more information about that on our website, wordsowerpodcast.com. And when we come back, we're going to be reading some Psalms, right, Robin?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I love, love, love the Psalms. Oh, they're wonderful.
Yeah. Join us next week, and we look forward to looking at God's word with you. Bye, Robin.
Bye, Mary.
Thanks for tuning in to the Word Sower Podcast. We're grateful for you and your interest in knowing God and His Scripture. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can have one starting today. Right now, right where you are, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sins, living life my own way, and I want you to decide what my life should be. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Come into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Make me new and guide me. Your will be done. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a new person in Jesus. We would love to hear from you and help you know what next steps to take. You can reach us at wordsowerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to the next time we're together when we will open up the Word of God and share how it has changed our lives with you.